Blog Talk Radio.
Strategies of Success. Beginning of each program, I mention that word, Strategies of Success. Why? Obviously, it's the name of the program. I like to get that in. So forget the marketing side of it. But the fact of it is that we do need those strategies to bring us that level of success that we are all aiming for. And many times things get in our way, and it's a question, what do we do when things get in our way? Sometimes there are absolute business issues that come up. Sometimes it is the economy. Maybe we need to repackage, rebrand, reinvent what it is that we are doing. Sometimes things get in our way that we just have absolutely no control over. Maybe we still do, even in that respect. And what I'm talking about is health issues. Sometimes we do get ourselves afflicted with something that was no cause of our own. There's some disease, some affliction that attacks us, and that makes it very difficult to do things. But it's in those difficulties that we tend to really find out who we are, what we are, and it gives us the ability, it really should give us the ability to move forward. And very often, we use them as an excuse, like, I can't do it because. There is no because. I can't do it a specific way because, okay, I'll certainly live with that. But we can do things, and we can adapt to things, and we can change the way we approach different things to make it happen. You've heard some incredible stories in the past. You will hear incredible stories going forward. I love sharing those stories because they're totally motivational, and they're realistic. Today's program is exactly the same. Today's guest was afflicted with Crohn's, had a very difficult time with that, and it altered who she is today because she took that disease, her predicament, and it focused her efforts and where she wanted to put herself and where she wanted to put her business and how she manages her business and, more particular, how she interacts with everybody. Our guest today was diagnosed with Crohn's. Our guest today also became an author, also became a holistic nutritionist. She also became somebody that is very special to many people because she's also an holistic health counselor. She helps you help yourself go through some of life's challenges and hurdles. Her name is Christy Kaus. And Christy, I want to thank you so much for joining us and for doing everything that you do.
Oh, Brian, well, wait, that was such a great welcome onto the show, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you so much for having me, and yeah, I'm really excited to talk about, you know, my journey and how I've been able to help people out with Crohn's and colitis and fill-in-the-blank digestive issue. And I know, you know, we know that IBD, irritable inflammatory bowel disease, affects between 1.4 to 1.5 million people in the United States. And while it may not seem like a lot of people, you know, there are so many people that are affected by this that feel alone. And part of what we want to bring the message to, I think, today in our show is that you're not alone. And like you said before, I love how you brought up the word can't. I always tell clients when I work with them, can't is not allowed to be part of your language. We can do things. We can make changes. We can do things to improve our health. You know, and I tell people in my book, the IBD Healing Plan and Recipe book, that that's absolutely possible. You know, there are definitely ways that we can improve our overall health with Crohn's or colitis. I was to the point where, to give some history on my diagnosis, I was sick with digestive issues from the time I was 9 up until I was 19. Bless my mother's heart, Brian. She must have taken me to every doctor under the sun to try to figure out what was going on. And nobody really came up with anything. You know, I think I was like the only 9-year-old that I knew that was like having endoscopies and stuff like that at that age. So, you know, from a very young age, I was exposed to the medical community, and I saw a lot of things over the years and didn't really get a lot of answers. So I figured if I couldn't beat them, I might as well join them. And initially decided to go to school for social work because I wanted to help people. And then when I got to college, my digestion got so bad. As a matter of fact, my social work professor pulled me aside one day and actually asked me if I was anorexic because I was losing so much weight from what I did not know was undiagnosed Crohn's disease. So that prompted me to say, you know what, I have to try again to find a diagnosis. And, you know, finally was diagnosed with the Crohn's. And I went on for about 3 years in and out of really bad places. I almost lost all of my intestines at one point. I was hospitalized when I was 21. I will never forget. It was right before Christmas. Scary, scary thing. You know, I had a surgeon come up to my room and they were like, listen, you know, I've never seen intestines as bad as yours. They look like Swiss cheese. You know, we pretty much want to go ahead and remove, you know, your whole, you know, intestines. And I talk about this in my book. I AMA'd. I left against medical advice, which I tell people don't do what I did, you know, in that situation. But something just kept telling me. I had this gut feeling. I'm a religious person, a spiritual person, and I don't know if it was a calling or something. But this woman that was in the bed next to me in the hospital turned around and said, you need to read this book called The Maker's Diet by a gentleman by the name of Jordan Rubin. He actually, you know, healed himself from Crohn's disease. And I looked at her like she was crazy at first. And then I was like, okay, well, where the hell do I find this book? And now I'm leaving the hospital. And that's literally how it happened. You know, I wound up going home, got myself back into halfway decent shape. And as soon as I was able to, you know, I took out Jordan's book and I learned things about digestion that nobody had taught me. And then I turned around and said, you know what, I'm going to school to be a nutritionist. And, through that process, I was able then to come up with a very specific plan for people to figure out what foods were affecting their digestive tract. And so we could really customize, like, you know, what somebody's eating versus what they're not eating. And that was really helpful to a lot of clients. You know, we were able to look at what metabolic deficiencies a person may have. There are so many things, factors that we know that go into Crohn's and colitis, even neurological factors, which I know from one of my dearest mentors, Dr. Robert Melillo. So I went through quite a heck of a journey, but now, you know, I'm 32 years old now. I have no problem sharing that with people. I still have all of my intestines, not lost any body parts, which has been my main goal for this entire thing. Last year I was hit with late stage Lyme's disease, and it actually knocked my Crohn's out of remission, which was crazy because it had been in remission for so long, and it affected my gallbladder. Still wound up keeping that even though they wanted to take that out. So I always tell people, food for thought, to have knowledge. Knowledge is power. If I didn't know what I know about with food, I would not have a gallbladder right now. I'd have no intestines. I don't know, maybe I'd be missing other body parts at this point. I'm not sure. But I was very fortunate in that I just kept connecting with people that understood what I was going through organizations like the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, which I know, Brian, you have a really big tie with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, very much so. I have been a supporter, I should say we have been a supporter of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation for a while. My wife was diagnosed with colitis as a teenager. I met her at, she was in the late 20s. After my son was born, that's what got the colitis going again. And she also saw a significant weight loss, spent a couple of months in the hospital. And really where the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation came into play is that we were at a seminar that they were giving, and we were really lost at that moment. You know, she dropped out. She was below 100 pounds. Got down to about 85 pounds. And we felt completely lost. And it really wasn't until that event, you know, where we sat in a room with a couple of hundred people and realized that we were not alone. So that organization from an emotional support, if nothing else, from an emotional support system, you know, was absolutely there. So that's why we are totally involved there. And they give me the microphone every once in a while. So I am seeing the different walks that they do, fundraising walks on Long Island, one in Nassau and one in Suffolk County. So got to love them.
You really do.
Yeah, you brought up a couple of, you know, good points. But what I really find to be interesting is that here you are, you're very young. When you were diagnosed, you know, at 9, and then, they, you know, when it flared up again. But your mother, she was there to support you and find out all the answers as best as she possibly can. But when it came time for you to start taking control
of you, taking control of your diet, starting to look at things from a different perspective than what the surgeons were looking at. And once you start talking about removing body parts, you're in the world of surgery, and the surgeons have an answer that is just, you know, get rid of whatever the portion of the body part, you know, that's really afflicted with the disease, and then start again. You're bucking, and I have met a few surgeons along the way. They don't fit into that profile, and they're phenomenal people, but, you know, I mean, here you are. You're very young. You have no medical experience, you know, at all. How do you get your mother to kind of go along with this?
Oh, I write this in my book. They resisted me. Everybody resisted. They were like, are you crazy? You know, somebody was going to send, I think somebody at one point was going to send like a psych consult. Like, is this girl out of her mind? And I kept telling my mom, I'm like, you have to trust me. My fever came down. You know, I know at least that part of things is stable. And at that point, I had done some research, so I had some knowledge of the body, you know, of biology and so on and so forth. I'd taken bio classes in the past, so, you know, obviously I'm not a medical practitioner. I wasn't even a nutritionist at that point, so I couldn't even call myself a medical professional at all. So when it came down to it, I was just this gut feeling. So my mom, my dad, I remember all family that was there, kind of fought against it, but my best friend Ray, who I've been friends with actually since I was five, turned around and was like, look, you know, I know her, you know, if she feels that she has to leave, she's like, and that this isn't right, he's like, just please follow her lead. And I, you know, as I told him, I'm like, look, if it gets really bad, I promise I'll come back to the hospital, but something inside of me is telling me this is not the right thing to do. And I always joke around, I always say to people, my gut may not work that well, but my gut intuition is on point, like really, really well. So when I just got this gut feeling, you have to get out of here. This is not the route that you're supposed to go down. There's some other thing that you have to do. And I really just kept praying. I prayed to God, you know, like, you know, what should I do? And then all of a sudden that woman hands me this book from, you know, Maker's Diet from Jordan Rubin. And I'm reading this gentleman's story, and it was so similar to my own. Like you brought up a good point before about not feeling alone. At that point, I felt so alone and isolated with what was going on with me. You know, it was hard to explain to other people, you know, I'm sorry I'm late for a meeting, you know, because I pooped my pants. Like, you know, now as a practitioner, I don't care. I can say that in front of people. It's not a big deal. But, you know, this is the reality of what people with Crohn's and colitis, you know, may go through. And these things are embarrassing. So, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, I was able to fight my family off. They let me go home. I spent about a week on the couch, you know, having nothing but basically smoothies and, you know, like just keeping myself hydrated. And then immediately I went on Jordan's plan, started taking probiotics, digestive enzymes. There's a few things that I work with that help with the digestion. And as opposed to taking medication, which I've been on every medicine for Crohn's, Remicade, you name it, pretty much all of them, natural anti-inflammatories help me better than the prescription ones. So at that point, it was like the light bulb kind of went off over my head. It was like, oh, why did I get Crohn's disease? Where did it come from? Is it really genetic? What genetic factors turned it on? You know, because we know now as a nutritionist, I know about something called epigenetics, which is how our genes are actually molded and changed. And just because your great-grandmother had Crohn's disease doesn't mean that you're going to wind up with it. It's what are you putting into your body? And I will tell you, as a college student, when I started flaring up again, what do college kids eat? You know what I mean? Maybe not the most kids, from my experience, maybe not the best diet. So, I mean, I was really, for lack of a better term, forgive me, I was really eating crap. You know, I was eating a lot of cereals and processed foods, which I was just on a show yesterday talking about the dangers of processed foods. And that's what my diet consisted of from when I was growing up. You know, my mom didn't know any better, and she did the best she could and did a great job. She always cooked home-cooked meals, but it was just stuff that was not good for my belly, you know. So in the end, you know, after spending that week on the couch and following Jordan Rubin's protocol, within, I'd say, about a week or two, I started putting weight back on again. The color came back into my face. I started having more energy. And I just thought to myself, holy crap, you know, everybody that I know has to know about this. So, you know, I went back to my doctor and I told him, and he was like, you know, and I, mind you, I love the doctor that diagnosed me with Crohn's disease. He's lovely, great bedside manner, and was always very, very attentive to me. But he didn't really get the diet piece of it, but he was cool with me doing whatever experimentation that I was doing with that. And he would ask me, he's like, you know, what's happening? Like, what's going on? And then after a while, I became pretty interested in it. And then later, as the years went on, after my book came out, you know, after I had not seen him for probably about 7 or 8 years because I was doing well, you know, I came back in and he's like, you know, I'll be damned. He's like, you know, this is a rare thing. He's like, we don't see this. He's like, what is your protocol? You know, and now I have doctors all across Long Island, all across the country that refer patients into our practice because, you know, medicine is great and I work with doctors hand in hand and God bless them, you know, and, you know, I love what they do and I'm very thankful that they are out there for us. But they don't learn about nutrition in school so much. I think the average doctor is required to take 2 courses in nutrition. So, you know, a lot of times when I go in and I lecture to doctors, they're like, wow, you know, you just brought up something I didn't even think about. Or I'll give you an example. I was at my gastroenterologist last week just to, you know, go have a checkup and say hello. And they're like, it was pretty funny. They're like, you know, we refer patients to you now. Like, you know, we don't know when we don't know what to do, that we send them all along to you. So it's pretty funny how I turned what was really lemons for me into lemonade. And I tell people all the time, I have the best job in the whole world. I get to watch people come to see me in a really bad place, which, you know, really tugs at my heartstrings, because if I have somebody that I see with Crohn's and colitis, I take it very personally because I know my own experience, like your wife's experience. You know, we take it personally because we've been through it. You've been a caretaker, so you've been on that, you know, end of the role, which is not easy either, I know. And, you know, when we see that somebody comes back and they've gained weight and they're doing well and they're keeping food down, or, you know, I've had clients that have been able to completely get off meds. You know, again, obviously you have to discuss that with your doctor. I would never advise somebody to do that without doing so, or without me speaking with their doctor. But, you know, we have absolutely done that, and there are ways to do it. So, you know, it was really kind of, I don't know, I just faced, like, you know, to answer your initial question, what let me out of that hospital? This was my calling. You know, I think I've always known I wanted to help people. I just didn't know until I got sick that was the reason, that was why I got sick. It was to help other people with the same disorder. So,
yeah, and you put that plan into action rather quickly by enrolling at the Clayton College of Natural Health down in Birmingham. Doesn't seem like you wasted too much time in that.
No. I went to Clayton. I also went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and I also went to Columbia. They had a program on integrative nutrition, which I was very lucky to be able to get accepted into. So, yeah, no, I didn't waste any time. I was thirsty. I tell people, I was hungry for food because I hadn't eaten for so long. I was so sick, and I was hungry for knowledge. So whichever ones you wanted to feed me, I was going to eat them, you know, as much as possible. Yeah.
You know, and that's why, you know, brought up in the beginning of it, you know, like these different challenges that we face through life. You know, we could do one of two things. We could just lose to it, which is just a terrible attitude, or we could take and learn from it. And in your case, you've actually gone the extreme with that, but not only learning from it and finding that path for you that really helps, but helping other people also along the way so that they can take more control of what it is that they are doing. And I think that's really important. You mentioned about working with the doctors. In the past, you know, you go back 20 years ago, you mentioned holistic. It's like, oh, my, you know, some extreme thoughts in there. You know, I don't know what they're talking about. Doesn't make any sense. It's certainly falling more and more into the normalcy of things where people are looking at the non-GMO. People are looking at organic food. People are looking to more of a holistic approach to eating, to life, to running businesses. All of a sudden it became a term word over there. But still, when you talk about an holistic approach replacing medicines, you're working with the doctors on this. So you're not in any way, shape, or form suggesting people just drop the relationship they have with their doctors, but really working with them this way, the eating and the lifestyle supplements what's being prescribed or suggested from the medical side.
That's exactly right, Brian. Yeah, I think that's crucial. I mean, I've always made it a point to have very close communication with my patients, doctors, because, yeah, you know, you can't just abandon your doctor. I mean, even though I left the hospital against medical advice, I didn't abandon my doctor. You know, I went back to see him, you know, kept getting checked up on until we got to a point where excuse me, you know, I was more or less okay. You know, I hadn't had a flare up in like 3 years, and he was like, you know, you really don't need to come here anymore unless you need me. But obviously, yes, in the majority of cases, you know, we're still working hand in hand with the doctor. And I agree with what you said. You know, maybe about 20 years ago, even when I was first diagnosed, going back, you know, I was 19 when I was actually diagnosed. So you're going back, you know, about 12 years ago or so, holistically, you know, like you said, it was like voodoo. It's like, what are they doing? You know, what exactly is she doing? When in reality, a lot of what I do is clinical nutrition too. But we're looking at the person as a whole. And I think that's a big thing that people don't look at either. We talk about lifestyle, like you said, that whole holistic lifestyle. You know, how healthy is somebody going to be if, you know, they're working 80 hours a week and they have a really busy schedule and they're not taking care of themselves? Or how healthy is somebody going to be if they're constantly stressed out and they're burning through B vitamins, which affects your digestion? And then, you know, so there's so many factors that go into what the contributing factors are to Crohn's and colitis. And other digestive issues as well. And I think it's important to look at the person as a whole. And that's really what holistic means. You know, when people get freaked out by the whole word holistic, it's looking at the person's lifestyle and how that intertwines with their food. And really, even relationships can affect somebody's health. You know, maybe a loved one passed away. You know, I've seen people come in that didn't have a flare up for a while. They have a stressful event happens, and then boom, there goes the Crohn's or the colitis. It flares up. You know, and there's a biological reason for that. Your body is burning through certain stores of vitamins that are needed to help with digestion. So I think it's important for people to understand when we educate people and we counsel them. You know, so if somebody comes in and says, well, I'm really stressed out, you know, what do I do about it? We'll start to break down the person's life and say, well, where can we add things in that are going to make you feel better, make you happy? Maybe something creative, or maybe it's taking a bubble bath or spending 5 minutes, you know, alone every day, or whatever you need to do, meditating, but just something to make sure that the person is getting what they need on all accounts. So from the nutrition perspective and from a lifestyle perspective, I think it's really important. And like you said, When I had visited my gastro doctor last week, he was laughing. He's like, you know, this, it all goes hand in hand. And I think a lot of doctors are really starting to put more credence into that, which is so exciting, because it's just going to help us to be able to help patients better. And it's just a great thing. So I think through the future, that's going to continue, and it's going to keep spiraling on that upwards trail with that.
Yeah, I do hope so, because we've been in a couple of different situations also where, and this was as she was losing weight, the nutrition seemed to play 0% in the whole thing. I was like, okay, I was totally against that thought, and I didn't understand it. It just seemed like it didn't make any sense at all. And so the fact that the medical community is meeting the holistic community and working together,
yes,
it really, truly, you know, it's a good thing that everybody looks at things sort of like a total holistic approach. So what is it like? So if somebody were to come in on the coaching side working with you, what are you looking for in that initial meeting? Is it the foods that they're eating, or is it the lifestyle, or is it really a matter of taking a look at everything and building that comfort level up with them?
It's actually all three. We do a lot. I meet with my clients for the first time. I meet with them for an hour at no charge. And I tell people that I meet them for no charge for that hour, because really what I'm doing is I'm collecting data about you. I want to see what's going on in your life. My health history is longer than a doctor's health history. I ask what foods that you eat. So that's definitely, of course, on there as a nutritionist. I ask you what time you go to bed at night. You know, if you're a woman, I ask you where you're at with your woman stages in your life. You know, if that's affecting you, because hormones can affect, like you talked about with your wife after she had one of your children, she had flared up after that, I believe. You know, that's definitely,
yes,
something that can happen, and we see that pretty often. So we, you know, when I go through a health history, I'm asking the person questions. What time are you waking up? Do you eat breakfast in the morning? What time do you go to bed? You know, do you have pain? Do you notice a pattern with, you know, what you're eating? Have you had a major personal loss in the last year? Have you had a stressful event happen to you recently? Are you happy? I mean, the name of my practice is Happy and Healthy Wellness for a reason. You're not healthy unless you're happy. I mean, that's a big factor in it. So we start looking at that part of it. So I'm trying to think of what other questions I ask. I mean, it's just so long. You know, I'll ask the client, what do you think that you need to do to improve your health? Because a lot of times, you know, people are smart. I mean, you got to give people credit. You know, we know basics of what we should and shouldn't eat. You know, eat fruits and vegetables, eat, you know, don't eat sugar. I mean, those are things that have been passed down from generation to generation. But it's really then just getting into more of a deeper level. You know, maybe somebody's eating eggs and eggs are affecting them. Normally I would tell somebody that's a good food to eat, but maybe I notice, you know, maybe the person brings in a food diary for me. I usually ask the person to bring that in at the second meeting, because I'll go ahead and I'll take a look at what the person's eaten over a week. And we see something with the immune system. It's called an IgG reaction, an immunoglobulin reaction, that produces something called cytokines. Cytokines aren't your friends. They're bad. They're actually inflammatory chemicals, and they can inflame the gut. So what we were able to do, and this part of what I do, is actually we'll blood test people to see if they have IgG reactions to food, and then we can actually pinpoint, oh, this person can't have dairy, or oh, this person can't have gluten. I mean, you hear about gluten-free diets today. Everybody's talking about that. People are talking about paleo, FODMAP. The specific carbohydrate diet, my book, the IBD Healing Plan. There are all different books out there talking about different ways for people to eat with Crohn's and colitis. And what I found, and I tell this to every client that kind of walks in the door, is every single person's body is different. No two people are going to walk in here with the same, you know, exact issues, and no two people are going to walk out here with the same protocol. So what I do is I meet with my clients biweekly, usually for an hour, and each week we come up with a couple of goals, because changing your diet, you know, especially if you were like me eating ramen noodles and like cereal all the time when I was 19, is not something you can do overnight. So I have my clients, they lead, I tell them they drive the car. I'm just the person sitting in the back seat without being annoying, not being a backseat driver type of a thing. So I'm in the back seat kind of watching what you're doing. You know, I'll ask the client, what's one positive thing you think you can do for yourself in the next 2 weeks that you know you can achieve? Don't pick something you can't achieve because, and then come back here in 2 weeks and feel bad about yourself. Let's find something you know you can do. Maybe we noticed on your food diary that you're having a reaction to dairy. You know, I'll ask the client, why don't you go home? Let's try to pick up some dairy-free, you know, things like coconut milk or maybe hemp milk or oat milk or something like that, and see if the person starts reacting, you know, and starts having less of reaction with their bowels, or, you know, maybe they're less nauseous, or see if there's any change. And we can, you know, we can do it that way, or we can do it with blood work. Maybe the person turns around and it has nothing to do with food. Maybe they tell me, I don't know, my husband's been stressing me out for the past like 3 months. I don't, you know, for some reason, whatever, they're having a problem. You know, and I'll turn around to the client, well, what can you do to alleviate that? Can you talk to him? What kind of things do you think we would help? And every week I send my clients home with homework, and they usually have one or two things that they have to do that are manageable. And it's usually change one little thing. Let's see what happens if we do this. So some of it's trial and error, you know, when it comes down to it. Again, some of it we look at with blood work. But that's typical. So our consults are long, you know, and at the end of the consult, I'm usually able to gather enough data to turn around to the client and say, this is probably what the issue is. You know, this may be a hormone problem. I want to run this test. We may want to run that test. From what I can see, maybe you're intolerant to this particular food because it seems like you're eating it frequently. And from what you're describing, the days after maybe you're having a reaction, it's probably from that food. So from the very first meeting, my other nutritionists that work in our practice, they laugh at me. With my Crohn's and my colitis patients, I'm like, I radar right in on them. I'm like, oh, I know, I got it. You know, I know exactly what's wrong. Like 99% of the time the person comes in.
Chrissy, that's where, you know, your personal experience really comes into play with everything. It, you know, it's so important that you have that to rely on to go forward, to not only to be able to commiserate with somebody, to empathize with them and to fully understand them, but you've seen what works, doesn't work for you, and perhaps that's at least a starting point when it comes to making suggestions, you know, for other people. But we only have about a minute left. You're an unbelievable person. You are just truly great. keep spreading the word. Absolutely terrific. If folks want to, and they should go over onto your website for the blog, also access to the book. The website is?
Oh, yeah, we're www.happyandhealthywellness.com, and the word and is spelled out, so A-N-D. You can also Google my name, Christy Korth, K-O-R-T-H. I come up all over the internet these days. Got to love Google for putting me up high in the search engines. And let's see, the telephone number for practice is 631-835-5003. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us there. We're in the office by appointment only, so somebody will contact you back if you give us a call and leave us a message, because I wear several hats, so I'm not always wearing my private practice hat. So works out well. But I love to work with anybody with any health issue, but my Crohn's and colitis people, I'm not going to lie, they're part of my favorite clients. So anything I could do to help out, we always offer that free consultation for an hour. So if you feel like you need help and I can take a look at what's going on with you, I'd be more than happy to help anybody that's listening today.
Okay. And do you coach also by phone or Skype?
Yes, I work with clients actually internationally these days. We've got a pretty big following. I work with people over a system that is HIPAA compliant, which allows you to see me, so we can wave to each other like Skype. But it also lets me put, like maybe somebody got blood results back or something and I need to put them up on the screen. I'm able to go ahead and do that. And then you get a recording of it when we're finished. So it's nice. You know, I usually meet with people for at least 6 or 7 sessions. You have all 6 or 7 sessions all recorded for yourself. And I'll do that for my patients live too if I have to, that are sitting face-to-face. But our offices are in Ronkonkoma. So we're pretty easy to get to from all across the island. We're like kind of right smack in the middle, so it works out well.
Absolutely terrific. Again, Christy, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian, so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Great stuff. All right, folks, I mean, you know, it's just another example of somebody who has dealt with a situation. It just happened to her, and not only has she taken it, dealt with it for herself, but she's turned it into her practice, turned into who she is, turned into really what drives her going forward. And that, of course, is to help you in your quest and, you know, when you are dealing with one of these IBD issues. But there's something here we could all learn from that, and that is no matter what challenges you face, and we all face different challenges, we can learn from them, we can adapt to them, we can work around them, and we can move forward. There are multiple ways to achieve things. This is just another strategy of success. My name is Brian Cohen. Thank you for joining us. We will speak to you again next Tuesday, 12 o'clock.